Thank you. I'd like to ask, first of all, how many of you are from the Bay Area? Just a few? Okay. How many of you work, some of your work is with hepatitis B? Okay. And how many of you work in a public health that addresses Asian Pacific Islander health? Okay, all right. Just want to get an idea of who I'm talking to. Some of you raised your hand all three times. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to talk about SF Hep B Free. It's a program, it's a campaign that has become a national model. And those of you living in San Francisco have some idea about this, just because if you're driving and you see a billboard or you see a bus go by, you will have seen some of the billboards that have been put out. So I've been involved with the campaign since March 2008, when San Francisco State was recruited to be a part of this. And so my story is, first of all, I have no relationships to disclose. The objectives for this panel, I wanted to just be reminded as I was putting this together, is that we're to look at four approaches to advocate for equity and health access, describe a process of developing and implementing a policy strategy, list at least three factors germane to implementing a research strategy that builds capacity for organizations and communities to organize around the key issues, and finally, in 15 minutes, to discuss the Affordable Care Act and its implications for API health. No. So, a little background is that it's estimated that of the 800,000 people who live in San Francisco, about 34% identify as Asian Pacific Islander. That 1 in 10 is infected with hepatitis B, and most know that they aren't infected. That San Francisco Bay Area, the 9 counties that make the San Francisco Bay Area, has one of the highest concentrations of Asian Pacific Islanders in the United States. It also has one of the highest liver cancer rates in the country. The San Francisco Department of Public Health Viral Hepatitis Registry in 2007 and 2008 were able to identify that 83% of the people who had hepatitis were Chinese. So of all the people who had hepatitis, 83% were Chinese. 87% of that group were foreign-born and mostly Cantonese-speaking. So this is a very high prevalence, potentially unidentified and untreated population in the city. So a coalition came together, started out with a resolution, and the resolution said that we have to do something about this. This is the resolution that was sponsored by the San Francisco Health Department, the San Francisco Health Commission, and the San Francisco Hospital Association. It brought together these agencies and said that what we need to do is the resolution said that we wanted to have universal hepatitis B screening and vaccination for all API residents in San Francisco. One of the main spokespersons is Fiona Ma. At the time she was authoring this resolution, she was in the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. She had just been elected to Assemblywoman for the state. One of the reasons that it's so compelling is that she tells her own personal story of being infected, chronically infected with hepatitis B, and in fact was able to really emphasize that until this issue was brought to her, she realized that she had a lack of understanding of her own disease, of her own infection. So she's been providing leadership and motivation for the SF Hep B Free campaign, and she's become a national spokesperson for awareness and prevention and detection. So the steering committee is made up of three powerful people from three powerful agencies. The steering committee is made up of Ted Fang from Asian Week, Janet Zola from the San Francisco Health Department and Sam So from the Asian Liver Center at Stanford. The steering committee came together and conducted meetings and conversations with healthcare providers, industry, and community groups, and they identified key issues. The messages that they had was very simple, that we need to do something about this and we need to come together. So they were able to get buy-in from key stakeholders. They were able to get commitments from public and private hospitals and clinics that pledged to say, we will be a part of this with you. And one of the things that they were able to do is to say, as we ask you to participate in this, we want it to be what you're able to do. We're not making any kind of requirements. We're recruiting you to participate with us as you are able. And this encouraged more participation and ownership. So the message was disseminated in what is called culturally effective ways. And what they did is, one of the partners, when I interviewed them, said, well, when I asked them, how did you actually get started? And they said, you know, so how do you organize the Asian community? We didn't organize rallies. We didn't organize demonstrations. We organized a dinner, had 500 people come out to this dinner, 150 different community groups represented. And that's how we got everybody together, over breaking bread. Asians do things over meals. I thought that was a really nice quote to say that this was a way of getting people to talk about an issue that had a lot of stigma and to bring people together in a way that was safe and that had a very hopeful way in that they were building community. So the SF Hep B Free came together and they had basically three goals for their campaign. One was to create a public health and a healthcare awareness about hepatitis B. So it wasn't just public awareness, but also among healthcare providers, to promote routine medical hepatitis B prevention practices and to link patients to care. The key component was that the provision of this testing and vaccination and follow-up care was through existing resources. There wasn't going to be any new grants that they had. There wasn't going to be any new programs. It was that we have some services already and we'd like you to incorporate now and make it a practice that all Asian Pacific Islanders are screened and tested for hepatitis B. So if we can just say even for one of the objectives for this panel, how do we identify an approach? One of them is that use existing resources and use the strengths of partnerships. So by the time 16 months had passed in this organization, this SF Hep B Free, there were approximately 75 organizations in the Bay Area that were involved. And it was time to do some kind of an evaluation, both quantitative and qualitative, and I was part of the qualitative evaluation. And during this time, we were able to identify, obviously there were 35 different organizations, which were some of the key stakeholders. So we decided on 13 key informants, and the key informants were from the mayor's office, from UCSF Clinics, which is a very large clinic, from Asian Liver Center, and let's see, I think I actually have a list, okay, from Chinatown Health Centers, the private hospitals like St. Francis and Chinese Hospital, Kaiser Permanente, Assemblywoman Fiona Ma, and the Hospital Council, Asian Week. Okay, I think I identified all of them. So they were big organizations. How did your organization initially get involved, and why do you stay involved? Most people can say, we have enough to do, we have fewer resources, sorry, we're not going to be able to be a part of this. But this was really where everyone said, this is important, and we feel that we can somehow participate in this. So for initial involvement, what were some of the factors? People said, well, I really felt that there was our organization or our clinics needed to do some community networking. It was an opportunity for students to learn and to take on a topic that they were able to get involved in. So whether it was at UCSF in the School of Nursing and the pharmacy and the medical school coming together to do testing. They also had students from UC Berkeley who were doing translation services and able to come and help just be able to do surveys. To improve the standards of primary care and enhance the organization's visibility. So one of the partners, stakeholders said, the campaign's purpose is closely aligned with our broad mission and with our goal of supporting the safety net as well as sponsoring broad public health messages and population changes. We felt it was a good fit for us. Partners were very clear about the goals, which was very clear that it was to screen, to vaccinate, and treat. And many of the agencies were saying, we already do HIV screening and testing, and it seemed a natural transition for us to always incorporate hepatitis B. So in this survey that I did, it was an hour-long survey. I asked about 16 questions that asked why people became involved, what was sustaining their engagement in the partnership, and also what did they see as some of the strengths and also some of the challenges. Partners readily shared their insights and their knowledge, which is described by Lasker as synergy. This is where people were saying, you know, we felt we had something to contribute. There was cooperation. People described sort of with a smile on their face saying, you know, I was actually in rooms with some of our competitors, hospital competitors, school competitors, and it was really a nice thing for us to come together and realize that we're going to do this together. We're not going to be in competition with each other. The generosity of all partners in contributing resources, time, and money played a key role in the success, and this is also described by Lasker as part of the synergy. And also the leadership, who I had a picture of Ted, Janet, and Sam, that they provided vision, that they had mobilized broad constituencies and helped people stay connected. And much of that happened on a one-to-one basis. They were calling people all the time, just saying, will you be at the meeting tonight? There's another group that you can participate in. We'd really love to have you there. It was very much enlisting people to be a part of a community. So the campaign brought together unlikely partners, which I alluded to, academia, community organizations, profit and nonprofit. I think probably the one that people were most curious and interested about is that business and politicians and policymakers were sitting with college students, and then we had pharma there. And pharma was very welcome, and pharma was a part of this in a way that most people had not seen that kind of coming together for an organization. So the other theme that came up is sustainability, and this is something that I refer a lot to with Fran Butterfoss, that talks about how do we know when an organization or a campaign or a partnership is sustainable. Is that it has the ongoing capacity to resolve the work together, to establish and advance the effective strategies and continue improving health, and to be able to continue recruiting. So one of the things that also came out, which I didn't write up here, is that many of the people said, I love coming to the meeting because every time I come, there are new people, and I realize new organizations. So whether it's that, oh, here's a representative from Walgreens who has now said that on their bags they're going to have something that says, get tested for hepatitis B. They said, we just love realizing that, you know, another time, here's the Subaru, someone from Subaru who's now donating a car and putting across that get tested for hepatitis B. So people were learning about how do you do a public health campaign? Come and watch the way it's happening at SF Hep B Free. Another comment was, it's really key to have all the partners take ownership in the project rather than someone else's project. Each group goes to their organization executives and gives them money for their projects. So I think the only way you can build sustainability is if people take ownership and take pride in their own programs. So as the groups met on a monthly basis, people would say, our agency is able to do this, and whether it was that they were going to do something at a basketball game, and then this group was going to do something at baseball games. And I'm not talking about college baseball or basketball. I mean the Warriors and the Giants and the 49ers, that they were able to enlist the whole San Francisco Bay Area community to be part of the message givers. People coming together. We've been able to tap into caring nature of healthcare community to do something. I think that worked really well. The lack of any internal politics or infighting. I won't say any name, but this is someone from a large agency that felt a lot of competition with other hospitals. And so for this person, this was really important. This is where we were actually coming together and getting along. Another person who'd been around for a long time said, you know, these young students, they come to the meetings all the time. Another comment in there was that they have all this enthusiasm and wanted to do something. That was very unexpected for me, bringing people together. So the SF Hep B Free has partnered up now with SF Hepatitis C. For a while it was separated out that we're not really dealing with hepatitis, we're only doing B, but now they're saying, you know what, we're ending all hepatitis. And this is a year for mayor candidates are being asked to take a position about hepatitis B. Next week, Howard Koh is going to be there at the Ending All Hepatitis. So I'm going to end with just some pictures of how they've done this campaign around the San Francisco Bay Area. So this was one that was especially poignant, where they said, you know, at first it was be a hero, and then they changed it to which one deserves to die. There are 10 people in a basketball team, in a family portrait. This is in Tagalog, in Chinese, another family portrait. Vietnamese, Chinese, Korean, Tagalog, and Chinese. The one in the far right lower hand is beauty pageant. And they said, you know, we're really trying to draw on places that people would feel a connection to. The doctors, many of those doctors are part of the SF Hep B Free campaign. This is Fiona Ma. Just a week ago, when they were coming together with hepatitis B and C together, this is the Ending All Hepatitis, and that it's really become a national model. Thank you.